Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Battle of the Exes 2 or HAPA podcast for episode 9. I am Brian Cohen, and here with me back after last week is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
It's generous that you say I'm back because I'm actually just like a robot in my body, so I don't know that I'm back. We'll see. Hopefully I'll be back next week.
Still, we'll be better than Dane last week, so don't worry.
No, I heard Dane was great. Thank you, Dane, for filling in for me. Thoughts on last week? Wes was just in a league of his own. Like, it was almost unfair.
Yeah, no, it was a work of art.
I can't believe that worked.
Yeah, it was great. The Wes Mind Games is back old school style.
But it turned out to be kind of a stupid move, and we'll get into it because it's interesting.
Yeah, based on we thought back about how much Exile would have played a factor in everyone's games. I think last week was probably the perfect example of what may have been different. But so you want to jump right into this week?
Yes, I do. All right.
So we start off once again at the regular club and with Leroy and Wes pledging themselves to each other, saying that they're going to be true to each other to the end.
Well, it's interesting because I feel like Wes is just still true to his game. Like, I think this is what Wes wanted, so it works that he's with Leroy. But like, Leroy was, your politics have led me to the final, or may lead me to the final, whatever he said. I was ready for Leroy to have a bit of self-awareness and say, like, your politics and manipulation may have screwed me.
Well, I think without the Exile, I mean, they were all in pretty good shape. I mean, at least Leroy and Wes were in pretty good shape, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, the odds were in their favor, but if you... Jordan, so we'll get into, like, Jordan and Sarah aren't interested in Wes's deal, which we'll get into because that's insane. Right. And then Jordan tells Jay and Jenna. So at that point, if Jay and Jenna had won, or Jordan and Sarah had won, Wes probably and Leroy would have been in trouble.
Yeah,
it's like 50-50.
Right. Although, I mean, I don't think you could put Jay and Jenna with the same odds of winning, probably. But yeah, I mean, in terms of
you
the
would
teams
have put 0% chance of winning the trivia, so
that's
you
very
can't.
True. I all should else forget equal. Everything that I know. That's very true. Yeah, the deal that Wes is proposing is that basically, if they win, or if Leroy win, or if Jordan and Sarah win, as long as Jay and Jenna aren't already in the dome, that they vote them into the dome, and that's something that Jordan and Sarah don't want. But I'm curious as to why they don't just agree to it.
I feel like Jordan thinks that Wes is like Howie Mandel or something. Like, it's not deal or no deal. What you say doesn't really matter. And maybe I shouldn't be saying this because maybe Jordan has some sort of morals or character, or whatever, people, integrity. But you can make a deal and then you can change your mind.
Right. And Eric Nordstrom brought this exact point up. He said, I don't know why Jordan and Sarah didn't want to do the deal. He said, it makes no sense. If you lie to them, then lose, maybe they give you Jay in a dome to keep their word. And if you win and you're in the final, you can just screw them. Yeah, that's what I felt too. Like, just say yes. And if you just happen to be in the dome, then great. Then maybe you get Jay and Jenna. And if you win, you're going to screw over Wes, which you probably wouldn't be doing anyway. So what's the difference?
It was exactly the same that happened with a thing that happened in the trivia challenge. And clearly Jordan didn't learn his lesson there.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's weird. I don't understand. And this time, Sarah also didn't want to do the deal. And also just wanted to tell Wes straight up no. So it's like Jordan's like corrupting Sarah with his ego's driven game.
Which is bizarre because if we go back to like one of the first episodes where Jordan is like, I'd love to see bananas in the final. And Sarah was like, let's be strategic and not vengeful. And I thought maybe she had a clearer mind about who I want to bring to the final or how I want to get to the final. I don't know. I just feel like she would have been more strategic. I get that maybe that's why she wanted to have the layup in the final and not the layup before the final, but I don't know. Sarah should be better than she's being here.
It's weird. It's like one thing they say about wanting to take James and Jenna to the final makes perfect sense. It is a good strategic move. And then in the next breath, they're saying, no, we don't want to just go along with Wes's deal. So it's like they're being both strategic and not strategic in like the same conversation.
Yeah, and I think there's a clear, like, what's Wes's, like, Wes wants to have an insurance policy, right, in case he ends up in the dome and he can have the quote-unquote layup to the final. And he's willing to risk or to ensure, basically, that he would have the strongest teams with him in the final
right.
to on the possibility that he'd end up in the dome. Do you think Wes would have followed through had Wes and Teresa been power couple this week and they made that deal?
I was just about to ask you that. I don't think they would have. I think they would have protected Jay and Jenna for the final because Wes knows how to win, and that's the winning move.
I really, and the challenge history buffs can correct me on this, and we've talked about it before. I just don't think, it's certainly not as prevalent as it is in Survivor to bring a goat to the end, but I really don't think Wes would have dragged the goat to the end. Like, I really do think he would have made good on it and wanted to, quote unquote, go against the best, win against the best. Right. Even though it could have been like a, what, $50,000 mistake? Yes. Whatever the difference is.
I'm just trying to think back of how many scenarios where there's like that opportunity to either bring the goat to the end or throw them in. Because even like last season with Devin, there was, right, at the end, it was just like flipping the cards to see who was in the final elimination. There was no moment where you could either vote Devin in or take it to the end. So I don't know how many moments in challenges it would have been like that, where you could either vote the goat into elimination to lose or have a guaranteed third place. So I don't know. Hopefully,
well, I mean, but we're not even at the end yet. I know they think that they are, but right, that even still happened in this elimination. Like, it doesn't need to be the last chance before the final. Like, no, it could still be a couple of rounds prior where you're starting to think about who could be in the final. But mm-hmm. Devin was a physical goat for sure, but she did have a good social game and built those bonds. So it's almost like justifiable to bring her to the end. And you can mm-hmm. say that it's not just because she's a goat.
Yeah, and at least she wasn't a rookie, so like they shouldn't have that label. Like Jay and Jenna, like they should have been thrown in probably the second episode just based on their rookie status. But that did not happen.
Agreed. And I'm just so annoyed by Jay. Like, when Jay, this was so funny, when Jordan tells Jay Wes's deal, and Jay's like, half of me wants a feast in the dome, and then half of me would like to be carried to the final.
Yeah. I wanted to say half of me wants to face him in elimination, but the other half knows I would get absolutely slaughtered, so I don't want to face him in elimination. That's what he really should have said.
I would like to man up and challenge him myself, but I am going to just take the free ride, please. Thank you. Like, it's like so weaselly and sad.
And then what'd you think of Wes's kind of wordplay getting Teresa to turn on Jordan?
I mean, I feel like Teresa, I have no idea where Teresa even stood with Jordan prior to this. It was like, first, let's not even get into why women have to be bitches and men can be assholes.
Right.
But I'll pass on that on that opportunity there laid out. But yeah, so Wes says, like, oh, like on the bitch to asshole scale, like you're definitely a bigger asshole than she is a bitch. And Jordan just says no. And then Wes flips the script. I think Jordan went crazy. And what Wes said, like, Jordan could have laughed off and been like, Wes, that's not what I said, blah, blah, blah. But Jordan is clearly very concerned about his edit. Because he said, do you notice that he says, like, my rep can't take any more douchiness or something like that.
Yeah.
And so it's like he, I think, is almost going off more just being concerned that he's kind of gotten off scot-free compared to the other times he's been on TV and is coming off well and doing well at the same time. Right. And then now Wes is going to say that he called a girl a bitch and he starts freaking out.
I think that, I think that's a fair assumption. I just thought he was just tired of Wes trying to manipulate all the things, so he just wanted to call him out in front of everyone and be like, this is what he's actually doing. That's the way I read it, but I kind of like your theory a little better.
It's possible, but I just think that he could have done it in a better way where he could have been more relaxed and been like, Wes, you're scrambling. Like, this is sad. That's not what happened. Like, Teresa, all the respect or something. You know what I mean? Like, he like flies off, I think, because he had something on the line. That said, people also don't think rationally, and he could have just been flying off for what you're saying. And it's probably a combination of both. Like, he's so sick of Wes's manipulation. I definitely agree with that. But Wes was not in the power position here. Like, Wes was trying to offer Jordan a deal. And then mm-hmm. Jordan says no. So for Jordan to get all bent out of shape when Wes doesn't have the power over him, you know, it's really, I guess because he has Leroy in his pocket, but I thought it was an overreaction mm-hmm. if he wasn't concerned about being on TV. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was almost more bizarre about the whole thing, which is how, serious, brutal, like, however Teresa reacted to the comments. I mean, Teresa's been around the block in the challenge for a while. I cannot imagine being called a bitch is like the worst possible thing that has ever happened to her. And she treated like her sister was like saying this to her. Like, I don't understand Teresa's reaction to all this.
Yeah, I was just like, Teresa's spent. Like, Teresa's just done, and that's why she's not entertaining. And this is, I mean, this is nowhere near as bad as what she said about Nani to right. Nani and about Nani. So she's just crying all over the place. I think she's just mentally and physically exhausted from these challenges. Like, the show, not the right. actual challenges.
Yeah, it almost, like, reminded me of someone on Survivor breaking down and crying at day, like, 34 or something after, like, a rainstorm that they just want to get out of there because they were just so just done. I think that's kind of just had to be what it was.
And we see more of that later from Teresa, where she's just basically waterworks the whole episode. And I, like, kind of get it because slowly everything starts slipping away from them and they were in such a good position and they worked so hard. Right. But to crumble is only going to make it worse. Oh, easier absolutely. Said than done, but if she's starting to crumble and not helping Wes at all.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Jordan's epic comment about calling out Wes for his steroid use cannot be forgotten. I like that little. I like that they
except
kind of
for the fact that I forgot it. I texted Brian and was like, "There was a question about steroids."
I just love that they like flash back to Wes like circa like 2007 when he was all like buffed up and stuff. So I don't know. Maybe MCB was also trying to take on like a subtle jab because they had that ready to go. So.
Well, I mean, it's not live.
I mean, they didn't just kind of brush that off. Like, they actually, like, they showed back footage like, of Wes's previous build.
No, I think it's been great the way that, just in general, they've been editing the show, the slow motion double back tuck that Jordan does at the end of the challenge. But, like, and they did a lot of recall this episode. And I don't know, I think that that's been really awesome to go into, especially for new viewers who may have not remembered, but you did remember that. You did accuse Wes of being on steroids and dropping the dope. But do people call it dope? Is that dope? I'm just like doing a dare.
I think dope is a much different type of drug. But
no, because they like dope enough. I'm going to look it up. But I guess
maybe dope's just refers to all drugs, I guess. I'm not up to date on
don't you say they're slang. Doping? Don't you say they're doping?
Yeah, that's true. But I always think of dope as like
sports,
to score some dope. I don't know. Whatever. All
right. If you want to hang out with Brian, score some dope and give him a call. So then they get a beautifully poetic text from TJ, meet me in the dome in 20 minutes.
Very succinct. TJ knows how to get his point across.
Even like TJ's people act like TJ. Like I feel like TJ's people, whoever quote unquote writes for TJ, right. are probably like also former BMX bike riders.
I love to see TJ like start texting with like emojis. Like if you wrote out that text emoji style and they had to like figure it out as a puzzle. That'd be kind of fun.
That's a feature of the challenge. Yeah. The costs get cut so much that they have like massive emojis and Sarah's like, oh, I'm a trivia master.
I mean, back in the day, I totally could have seen that being a challenge in like old school challenge when it was like gimmicky stuff about having to solve riddles through emojis. Definitely could have seen that. Oh.
I have no segue here. I'm just going to bring this back and get my lasso out, swing it around my head and reel this back in.
Bring in those llamas.
Question. Well, not question. Funny story. I haven't been able to watch Battle of the Exiled, blah, blah, blah. So I fast forward too quickly and all of a sudden it just saw Zach and John A like run in and I almost lost my mind. Like I was like, oh my God, Zach and John A are back. But the only consoling thing to that, when I saw Bananas and Nani come in and realize that they were going to do the final Battle of the Exiled in the Dome, is that I called it.
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah.
This episode is just our victory lap right now.
If only Avery and Johnny did something really good, then it could have been my victory lap too. But yeah, you got that one.
But it's not, again, let me go back. Again, it wasn't about if Avery and Johnny...
I just wanted to bring that up. I don't want to start it.
If you're going to bring it up, listen, it's very unprofessional on podcast to just scream over me.
I'm going to try to filibuster your comments.
No, but let's just bring it back to that, which is, I never said it was them being good. It was whether or not they were a threat to, or the best team to go against Johnny or Wes. And Johnny settled that in his own mouth. Episode 2. So I don't need a victory lap for that. This is just bonus. Everything else since episode 2 has just been gravy.
So who was a threat was Bananas and Nani, because as TJ said, they killed it in the exile leading up to this one. And then they faced off against Zach and Jenna. I love when he started explaining it, and Jenna still had absolutely no idea what was going on.
Yeah, there were two amazing parts. One, when Zach and Johnny walk in and everyone's clapping, and Leroy's like, why are you guys clapping?
Yes, I love that.
And then Jay explaining to Jenna what's happening.
And I guarantee when he finished that explanation, he still did not understand what was going on.
I mean, she doesn't need to, though. She's all good. And she comes in when she needs to, so that's all that matters.
She's very prompt.
Anyway, the editing of this was brutal. This challenge that we've seen before, I'm sure everyone knows what season it was, but we've seen this before where you get to, the two teams get to tie a rope all over a jungle gym, a cube, and then the other team, you have to unknot the other teams before the other person.
Right.
You apparently should explain that better.
apparently it was Battle of the Seasons. I didn't really remember that. And apparently John A. and Nani both did this elimination in that season. So that's a fun little tidbit I learned that from Alex Pandemaran. I did not know that. I didn't remember that. I knew this challenge looked familiar.
I definitely knew we had seen it before, but I couldn't tell you where it went. But thank you, Alex.
Yes.
This was interesting. So I watched this between yesterday and today, and Brian was like, oh, this turns out really well. Not turns out really well, but it's like a good match.
Yeah.
I totally couldn't have disagreed with you more.
Really?
The edit was so brutal on this. Like, I have not given credit to MTV because God forbid, but I have considered giving credit to MTV because the edit has not been as terrible this season, terribly obvious. This was everything prior to the commercial was John A and Zach are going to win. They're so good at this. They're perfect. And when that happens, you know they're going to lose. And this was like not even a hint of an idea that it was going to be Zach and John A winning.
That's true. I just meant the I mean, it seemed like it was pretty close at least, and it was a good challenge to do it. So that's what I meant when I said it played out pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, it was good because it wasn't like a dinky Battle of the Exile thing, right, which has gotten better, I guess. But this was like a full-on regular challenge. But I just thought the editing was so disappointing because when they're like praising one team so highly, like, you know, they're doomed.
Yeah, it was constant. Like, it was, oh, Bananas and Nani are really struggling. And, oh, John A is carrying this team. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty clear what was going to happen. But I still was into it.
I mean, at this point, we knew that Bananas and Nani were going to come back, so yellow. But I do, no, I was going to say I'm just so sick of even the edit that they tried to squeeze out that Sarah, like, oh, Zach better give John A credit for this. And then Zach, of course, doesn't give her credit, and everyone's over it.
I love there was one moment when they did something, like, crazy in the jungle gym about making a move, and Sarah has a cut to camera saying, oh, Zach better give John A credit for this. And the immediate cut is back to Zach yelling at John A for something. I found that to be enjoyable.
Did you, and I'm so sorry, I haven't had time to listen to podcasts. I'm the worst. More on that later. Did you guys talk about Ashley, his ex-girlfriend's radio comment?
No, we did not.
So someone, and I have nothing in front of me with anyone's name, so I'm so sorry to the person who tweeted this at us, but there was Ashley from The Real World New Orleans, Jemmy and Knight's season, was dating Zach in Boston for a significant period of time after John A. And she's, if you recall from The Real World New Orleans, was interested in doing radio, and she's still on the radio, and there was... She like commented about it, and the way that Zach is, she's like, people have been tweeting me and blah, blah, blah. Cause we had complained that like none of the girls he's with have spoken out against what he's saying. And basically she said like, I think she may have said, no, she definitely watched this episode at least. But anyway, she was like, he made some comments and like, that's not the guy I know. That's not the man I lived with. That's not the man who met my family. And like, you know, she was like, I don't agree with those comments. I don't condone it, but like, that's not who he is. And I kind of thought that was like such a cop out. Like, yes, you're saying you don't agree with it. So you're not stepping out against it, but you're not condoning it. But you're also excusing him for saying it on TV. And she did say like, oh, the comments he made were like where a camera crew wasn't around, so it looked even worse. But she kind of defended him without defending him.
Yeah, she didn't totally blast him and totally separate herself from him, which is, I mean, I don't know, it's a tough spot with them having a lot of history together, but at least she said something, which on like the negative side, which is better than some other people.
True. Anyway, sorry to step into that, but now that we never have to talk about Zach again, I figured I'd wrap it up there.
I just love freaking Zach, and then he goes out, of course, blaming Jenna, and I love that he was, like, basically running away from her at the end, just, like, and the nightmare, as he called it. So it was a nightmare for us too, Zach, somewhere.
What do you think? My first thought went so bananas and Johnny. No, that's also himself. Bananas and Nani are coming in the house. Like, the house is primed for them. Like, the house could not be in a better position for them coming back.
Yeah, I mean, even like Bananas kind of phrases it perfectly, that Wes's alliance is a little bit just basically of a house of cards, and all he has to do is kind of just blow on it, and it all crumbles down, and it crumbles down basically immediately.
Yeah, Bananas has just enough time to make a lame butchered Anchorman reference and then gets all the power back in the house.
Yeah, and he got second he walked back in. I mean, Jordan and Sarah are on his side. Everyone's on his side, amazingly.
I was more upset about the Anchorman reference that he made. That was really sad. Anyway, you're not funny, Bananas. Get your own material. No, Wes is interesting to me because Wes is willing to work with anyone or do anything or say anything. I don't know that Bananas would have, like, say Wes's alliance was a stronghold and Bananas was screwed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Bananas would have approached Wes in the way that Wes tries to approach Bananas here.
Probably not. I think Wes is willing to do anything and anything, and I guess Bananas would probably just be like, all right, if you want to come at me, I guess I'll just try to earn my way back through domes and just make my way to the final. I guess I can see that.
Because Wes is just like, it doesn't have to be like this. And he's right. Like, go back to your room, Wes. And Wes just walks away sad.
They could have easily played some like very sad like cartoon music as Wes starts walking back.
But more interestingly, I guess, is the interaction between Leroy and Bananas. We got a question that I'm going to ask you to locate on the spot right now because I didn't pull it. But what's the one where it's like, when is Leroy going to like
Here it is. Keith Davis says, will Leroy ever get out of Bananas and CT's shadows? Or is it best for his game to stick with them? When he was on his own, he was on fire. And now that Bananas returned, Leroy is back to the old Leroy.
The only thing stopping Leroy from being a big boy is the way that Leroy chooses to be subservient to the powers that be.
Right.
It's so frustrating. Were you as frustrated by the scene as I was?
You know, I didn't have a problem with the end result of Bananas going, Leroy going back to Bananas. The only problem I had was kind of like just how he did it. Like, he could have just said, yeah. Like, he just, like, when he was saying he was like with Wes and Bananas was like scorning him, like, went against the family. Like, Leroy should have just, like, more, like, stood up for himself more, saying, like, dude, I was on my own, I have to do something, Wes was in control, I went with him, but now that you're back, well, I'll gladly screw him over, and we can take this to the end. But he was apologizing and trying to, like, suck up to Bananas. That was a weak move.
It's shocking to me that the way they treated Bananas was, like, they all had to run to him. Like, Bananas is the one who got eliminated, and he should be approaching all of them with what's going on, how can I get in back in here? Like, that's kind of like when someone returns from Redemption Island, they acknowledge themselves as the odd man out. When Bananas returns, everyone's, like, kissing the ring. Right. And I don't understand. Leroy is, like, a woman or a man whose husband or wife is, like, overseas, and, like, they got lonely, and they made some mistakes. And when they return, they're like, what was I supposed to do? Like, swoon, faint. Like, it was just, like, gross to watch this. Like, you don't need to defend yourself, Leroy. Like, you carved and you paved your own way in the game. You sent Banana's ass out of here, and he should be paying a little respect to you. It was so sad and so pathetic.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree. And so this was a chance for Leroy to kind of like keep his name as, you know, one of the power players. Now it's just back to Wes and Bananas being the power players, as opposed to it could have been Wes, Bananas, and Leroy as three different power players.
And yeah, this is where it was probably the worst move in the game was getting rid of Zach. And it's so painful because like last week it was such a good move. But Wes, depending on how things go, Wes and Teresa would probably have been better off trying to go into the dome against Jordan and Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah, looking back for Wes and Teresa, then, yeah, not having Zach and instead of having Leroy was not good. Because, yeah, Zach would not have jumped back to the banana boat. Definitely not.
I mean, not. I don't think if we're really going to go back, I don't think that Wes and Teresa would have beat Jordan and Sarah, actually, especially with how well Jordan did. So
It's possible. I mean, because I think Sarah didn't seem like she did that well, so Teresa could have potentially beat her.
Teresa's not a great elimination.
Yeah, she's really not good at eliminations.
Anyway, you know what?
Hypothetically.
Hindsight is 20/20.
Right. But again, that is what's interesting about them not knowing Exile, because I do wonder if they knew about Exile, even if they don't know who's in Exile, if they knew that it was a possibility, how that would have kind of shaped their thinking for that moment.
And the worst thing about Exile is forever now, unless the producers like 100% assure them that there is no Exile, they will always be making decisions as if there could be an Exile. Like that happens with like Top Chef, where someone from, not that that's as strategic, but someone from Top Chef will leave and say, oh, I hope there's Last Chance Kitchen. Like right. They don't always know that this is going on. And so you always have to operate like it is going on.
I mean, is that a bad thing though? I think it's kind of like an interesting new phase.
I won't like that they're making moves if there is no Exile, that they're thinking there might be and making decisions based on something that doesn't exist. Like, I don't like that.
Yeah. We'll have to see next season if what they say like, at the beginning of the season, if they declare there's an Exile or not.
But as you said about Wes's, or as Banana said, you and Banana said about Wes's alliances, like, yeah, this is a huge issue when you're that's different, really unique to the challenge than other shows. Like when your alliances are based on working week to week and purely like situational versus based on existing friendships and respect.
Right. I think Tony had one of those lines in Survivor Season where he said kind of like, it's you had an alliance of numbers. We have an alliance of friendship or something like that. He said something to that effect. And that's kind of what you see here, that Wes's alliance was basically just an alliance of convenience. And now that the convenience isn't there anymore, everyone kind of just spreads out and goes about their business.
Which sucks so bad, just from a perspective of watching, like to watch someone work so hard week to week and pull rabbits out of their hat and get through it, to see it all crumble is kind of devastating through no fault of their own, except that they worked really hard to get good people out of the house.
Right. I mean, it's hard to put any fault, but I guess if you're trying to put some fault, it's that you can blame maybe Wes for his alliance not being as strong, that they all kind of still see him as that snake that would screw them over. And if they thought he was more true to them, then maybe things wouldn't have broken down this way. That's the only thing I could possibly think of that he could have done.
I don't think it's true to them. I think it's literally pre-existing friendships and Wes isn't well-liked. And yeah, that's his fault, but this isn't. And right, it's a social game, but right. He did play the social game. He had Leroy on his side. He talked his way out of it. You know what I mean? Like he did all the necessary steps to get to this point and probably, you know, would have gone into the dome this week anyway and probably would have gone against Leroy, you know, whatever. Right. But,
And part of that's also Wes's strategy of usually trying to pull the rookies in. And obviously, if you're a rookie, you probably don't have that much of a relationship with Wes. So you're not going to be as strongly united to him.
Right. No, but it's just like in the context of just how the game was. It's like I can sympathize with how Teresa and Wes would feel like.
I mean, you can see like Teresa's was just basically the second the Exile thing happened and Bananas came back, she was so mentally checked out for the rest of the episode. It was so sad to watch, honestly.
What do you think about this Bananas hatching this plan to let Sarah and Jordan win?
I think it's a good move by him if he doesn't have to put the blood on his hands, and there's nothing wrong with it. If Jordan's, I think it's more of is it a good move for Jordan and Sarah?
Is it a good move for Jordan and Sarah?
I don't think it is.
Why?
Because I don't see any scenario where lining yourself up to go against Bananas and Nani in a final is a good move. To me, you throw in Bananas and Nani.
Oh, that's
right. You get rid of either them or Wes and Teresa, and then you have a final four, and you're in a lot better shape.
Yeah, unfortunately, Sarah and Jordan don't understand the concept of making a deal and then using it to your advantage, which we've already covered. But yeah, exactly. I think the plan was good, and Sarah and Jordan should always accept yes if they're saying they're going to throw it to them. But yeah, they should have thought way, way harder about giving us the battle we all want to see.
I mean, if their whole point was they didn't want to go along with the Wes and Teresa deal because they didn't want to go up against Wes and Teresa in a final, wouldn't you be more worried about going against Bananas and Nani in a final? Or at least equally worried against them? So I don't know why now all of a sudden you're fine doing that.
Well, I mean, Leroy and Naya sent Bananas and Nani home. So I don't agree that that equals challenge threat, but I don't know how they're viewing it. in real time.
Like, I mean, like we've said, though, like an elimination threat is a lot different than a final threat. And I think Leroy and Nia are really one of the bigger examples of that, because I think they are probably the team I'd be most worried against in elimination, but 100% I'd be fine going against them in a final, just because there's always some big water component and they struggle with that.
No, I totally 100% agree with you that there's no question in my mind that Bananas and Nani are a bigger challenge threat, a final threat than Leroy and Nia. But I don't know how it's being viewed in the house right now, because Leroy and Nia have like pretty much beasted every dome and against like huge competitors. And I know that freaks them out. Like, I don't know if they would rather, like, maybe they really do think Leroy and Nia would have a better chance of beating Wes and Teresa, and they don't want Wes and Teresa, and they're more afraid of Wes and Teresa than Nani and Bananas. I don't know. Like, that doesn't really make sense to me either, but maybe they really want to honor this Bananas and Nani thing, because Leroy and Nia, if they come back, don't have that strong of a record of being power couple, and there's still another elimination after this, so.
That's true.
And I don't know. They didn't give us enough background.
No, and I think there's also the part of the Sarah and Bananas being pretty sad. I mean, they don't really show them that much being pretty close, but I think they're pretty close, and maybe it's one of those things that they just won't say each other's names no matter what. So,
but no, but they are really close, and I totally agree with you, and that's kind of why Jordan and Bananas have been willing to work together. It's totally Sarah, but Sarah was willing to work with Wes and seemed to, at least for what we saw, be interested in making the right decision at the right time, and probably would have slipped it in his throat.
That's so fair. It's tough.
But maybe not. Maybe when push came to shove, it was like, oh my God, my friend is back.
Yeah. And I think it's also kind of like they felt so alone in that house that you get anyone with them, you're going to be like, oh yes, yes, 100%. We're with you. So that could have been it too.
True.
Challenge or competition? It's weird to call a challenge when the show is called a challenge, but competition.
But you wouldn't let me call the challenge on Are You the One the challenge.
Yeah, because it's
so. This is the challenge. One. You call it the mission. So throwback. Whoever, there's one commenter that always says mission, and I love it every time.
It's called the mission. It's called the mission.
No. Leave it to the one commenter. Right, well, don't try to steal it. We got to get our own stuff.
I'll there for next week. I'll do synonyms for mission for next week. That's my goal. That's my mission.
I just trapped you by telling you to do something and then saying you
could. I'm definitely not going to do it. I'm going to feel really bad about it for next week. But this week it is called the Wrecking Ball, where you have to stand on a 30-foot platform. You can have a dodgeball thrown to you or a wrecking ball that's swinging back and forth to potentially knock you off.
Okay, I'm really upset because I missed the name of the challenge and I would have had Wrecking Ball queued up and I really want to sing it, but my voice is really bad and I can just feel like the dead cat sound that will come out if I try to sing. So anyway,
just this challenge pissed
me off. Don't. Do yourself a favor. This challenge really pissed me off because it is so tailor-made for manipulation of, like, it's just, there had to be a challenge. We were due for this type of challenge where you can all gang up on someone, fine. But it's so annoying that, like, the majority of the house gets to pick both teams for this week.
Yeah, I mean, but shouldn't, I mean, I know it would still be 3-on-2, but wouldn't Jay and Janice still kind of be on the Wes and Teresa side at this point?
No, because Jay got so pissed because Jordan told Jay the plan.
I guess that's true. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, everyone was against them. I didn't have a problem with this challenge, though. I kind of liked it.
No, I thought it was a good challenge, and you're due for the challenge where, you know, you cut the person's line, like Survivor style, where you show your allegiances, right? But it was just, and I know people were commenting about this and asking questions, but it was just, yeah. So, and I'm not going to call, like, you know, these challenges have to be planned. Like, they have to have the setups in order. But this was so perfect for Bananas and Nani to come back and to be able to control both teams. Like, that's what I love about the challenge. It's just like the immunity necklace, like, in Survivor. Like, you can plan and have everyone on your side, but it only matters who went. Like, they can always save themselves. And right. Wes and Teresa did not have a fair opportunity to save themselves in this.
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of questions about if this was, you know, rigged, that it was so perfectly timed. Yeah, I mean, first, I totally agree. There's no way that they all of a sudden called an audible and said, oh, let's throw this together now that Bananas is in it, that we can rig it. But, I mean, it's not the kind of the same thing about the cutting the ropes, because they still have a chance to win it on their own. I mean, it's not as clear as like when you answer the questions, you cut your ropes, you have no chance of winning if you don't want, if someone doesn't want you to. But I mean, it's a lot harder to win this if you're more on your own, but they still had a chance to win.
I don't think you have a chance to win when Teresa's next to Bananas and can just thump the bag towards him or whoever. You know what I mean? Like, it just, yeah. They could have had heat. I mean, I know that wouldn't have worked as well, but I just thought this challenge was such a formality. It's like, everyone show up, you tell me who's going to win, and then you also pick who goes into the dome against them. Like, the only thing they didn't have control over... No, but I mean, they really did have control over who went in first, too. Like, I mean, they didn't have control over Naya giving up, but...
Right, with, yeah, that was pretty...
The only thing Wes and Teresa could have done is to have... to try to put everything towards Leroy, but... You don't want to go against Leroy and Naya. You don't want to just be not last.
But it's really interesting because if you think about it, if there was no exile twist and they did this elimination, it almost would have been the exact reverse with everyone going after probably Jordan and Sarah, who ended up winning it this time around. So it's so crazy how that the exile just flipped everything the exact opposite.
Yeah, the only thing is if this challenge was planned for the person who comes back from exile, anticipating that everyone could just get rid of them. Like, if they wanted.
I agree. I think that actually was the intended purpose, was that the person who comes back from exile, they should have to go back into the dome probably immediately, and this was everyone's chance to do that, but it just so happened that Bananas was the one who came back, flipped the house, and they all targeted Wes.
Yeah, so I thought it was a good challenge, but I was frustrated with it under the circumstances. Because I just don't like that it's so easy for everything Teresa and Wes built to crumble. And it is their fault. No, I actually think what you said was interesting about that's their fault, too. If you built a house of cards, that's your fault. Like, but there was just no stopgap. Like, it's always more interesting when the target gets to a chance to stop it.
Well, the stopgap here is that, unlike Survivor, if you don't win immunity, you're just voted out. The stopgap here is, even if you're voted into the elimination, you can still win the elimination.
Of course. So, and Teresa seems to be forgetting that, too. Right.
But. Yeah, I mean, she's so... check that. I don't see a scenario where they win, but we can get to that later on.
Well, I love when Wes is trying so hard. Like, he's really taking this well and trying to go with it as much as possible. And Teresa's just totally breaking down. And Wes is like, I lied. She's crying in the bathroom. He's like, she's taking this really well. She's putting on a brave face. Just kidding. She's locked herself in the bathroom.
I mean, Wes has his 40 companies as monster truck leaning back home. So he's in good, he has a good life no matter what happens.
I think the only reason this is happening to them is because I picked them to win. Because nothing else makes sense.
You got the last stink?
Yeah, it's just, you know, can't make a good prediction. It's the last occurs.
There you go.
But, yeah, I think, what do you make of Leroy and I basically quitting this challenge?
Well, I mean, I don't understand how Naya could not stand up. I don't understand. I still don't understand why she just fell off.
Well, she's afraid of heights, if I recall, and water. Like, I don't think she liked, like, she was shaking in that, like, cocoon for the, wasn't she freaking out about that?
Yeah, I mean, and I don't understand how you could be afraid of heights and water and do the challenge. Like, that's like the two lot. Aspects of every single event they do.
Well,
event.
They don't want.
We can call it event.
They don't want Naya for her challenge prowess. They may now, but she was there for the drama.
That's true.
Like, it's like, how does Jasmine do the challenges? She weighs 90 pounds.
Very fair. Yeah, I mean, for Leroy going off, he just had a total misread of the house dynamics at that point.
So sad.
It's like, he was just so far. So he was like that person who like jumps off for food and knowing, and everyone's like laughing in the background that they're about to be voted out.
Did you notice his little head and big neck this time? Because
yes,
it's so apparent.
It's also like not just little; it's like very narrow.
Yeah, it's like pointy at the top.
Yeah, very. Yeah, so I did notice it. It kind of stood out to me.
Perfect. And then Bananas takes a literal dive.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yes. Well done.
Thoughts, feelings, concerns.
I think it worked out as well as he wanted it to, and no one seemed to be calling him out on it. So outside of just Naya in a confessional, I don't think anyone really knew that he was kind of just falling off on purpose. So
well, I feel like everyone knew. Like, everyone knew, it just didn't matter. It was just like, he could have, like, Jordan just should have thrown the bag at him really hard. Like, it didn't, right. Like, he just jumped off.
Yeah, he, like, jumped off. He's like, oh, shit, there's three people left. I have to get out. It's like he almost forgot, or everyone just started falling out so quickly that he had to, like, just quickly fall off.
I mean, I know he doesn't care about, like, play, because everyone's on board except for Naya and Leroy and Wes and Teresa, but it was just, like, have a little respect.
Yeah, you could have, yeah, could have faked it a little better. I think someone asked that about us. He gave some advice about throwing a challenge. I don't remember who did it, but someone asked us about
was
that.
Was it Zachary Zernikon?
It could have been.
If it was, I should have an award, because I just don't know how I pulled that out. Yeah, check it. I'll stall. If you're singing, you'll be distracted from looking for that.
I'm humming. Here we go. Oh wow, well done. It was Zachary's art. Boom. Can you get the challenge competitors?
Over. Thank you, everyone. Goodbye.
Drop the mic. Can you get the challenges competitors? A few tips on how to throw a challenge. Yeah. Make it seem like something was thrown at you and then fall off.
Actually lose the challenge.
Yeah. Don't just, like, tumble.
But
don't throw challenges. We never support that.
Please explain why Naya is so mad that they lost when she didn't participate.
This boggled my mind. Not only that they just, like, lost, that she was, like, upset with Leroy's performance. Like, Naya, you didn't even do the challenge. Beyond no right to say anything. Leroy could have jumped off 5 seconds in and he still put forth a better effort than you. You didn't even do the challenge.
And yeah, they have no leg to stand on in anything.
Naya literally didn't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think she complained that her legs were too long, which is why she couldn't stand on them. But I don't know. I would normally 100% back Leroy and Naya with how upset they are, except for the fact that they didn't compete. Like, they did so bad that Jordan and Sarah could have said, like, look, you guys are all in my alliance, so I'm going to just have to go on performance.
Yeah, they could have just said, Naya, you didn't compete. Leroy, you gave up, so we're throwing you in.
Do you remember when they used to go based on quote unquote performance? Got it. Yeah. Got to vote on performance. Sorry. The person I hate.
Yeah. That was sometimes.
There's a clear difference here in Naya's eruptions. When she first goes and talks to Jordan and Sarah, mm-hmm. and she's like crying.
At the power couple dinner?
Yeah, the pizza.
Where they had pizza and that fried chicken. What did you think about that? Because that was last week, right? Where they had fried chicken. What did you think about that?
So
fried chicken.
And Leroy was like, I'm not even mad. I'm so happy it's right here.
That's why Leroy's the best.
Oh my god, I love Leroy. But okay, sorry. I'm happy that, I mean, I don't think there was ever not going to be a podcast this week, but you know, if there was any chance there wasn't going to be a podcast last week, it would have been horrible because they finally answered your questions. I'm shocked that it's just served to them and it was fried chicken. Like, they must have, like, some sort of rider or, like, I just can't imagine that production would just bring them fried chicken and bring everyone else pizza or him. So like, funny. It's not real that would be the case.
It's really one of my prouder moments that the food choice for the power couple dinner has become, like, a topic that we can discuss weekly. That everyone is, like, tweeting me questions to discuss because I thought I was, like, a crazy person who noticed this after, like, the second week. But, or maybe it was even the first week. I don't know. But I'm so glad. I'm very proud of our listeners that I'm bringing them over to the dark side of pointing this stuff out.
You're assuming that we don't just have crazy listeners.
That's
it's like a
possible.
Takes one to know one kind of thing.
Crazy attracts crazy.
But yeah, that was really funny with the fried chicken. I'm sure you talked about that a lot. I will back listen. No, so Naya's like, you don't respect me as an athlete. Like, I shouldn't have trusted you. Everyone told me, like, we were so close. And then I love Jordan being like, do you recall our season? And then they play all the insane clips for anyone who didn't watch Portland. Naya should expect zero from Jordan. I don't care how many years have passed.
Yeah, what I love, basically this season, if you miss Real World Portland, based on the flashbacks that they shown, you got the glimpse of what happened with Real World Portland, with her fight with Avery, and now her thing with Jordan. So that was great. Yeah, I don't understand how Naya could expect them to be friends. Like, the stuff they went through, like, you don't become friends after that. That's why it makes no sense that Avery and Naya are friends, but that's a whole other topic. But
you can be friendly, but he doesn't owe you anything. Like, you can be friends, but he's not gonna put you above his game. Like, Johnny Riley and him are friends to the point where he would make a bad decision to have them in the final. Like, him and Naya, like, you could be cool, but he's not gonna put you above the money. and you shouldn't expect that. That was so sad.
Yeah, I mean, I think that even if you are friends, you probably shouldn't expect. There's very few people that each person would go out of their way for. Like, I think the only person that Jordan would do that for is Johnny. And there's very few people who even have someone like that they would 100% try to protect.
Do you have a small child, or was that a cat?
There is a baby crying in the background.
Oh my god, put it on the podcast.
Get the baby that's not mine. Spurs podcast. Yeah. I don't think I've spoken to these people. I'm gonna go up to them and be like, hey, do you wanna come up bring the baby onto a challenge podcast?
Baby Spurs podcast. Do it. Baby bring the computer loves to buns. Them. You don't need to. Oh god, okay. I'm just thinking about the baby.
Do you wanna see about this?
What? Do I want to see about this? Like,
did you watch The Celebrity Apprentice?
No, I did. That's why I know you're talking about.
I don't know if you fully got that reference.
I totally and fully got the reference, but I just started thinking about you actually approaching these people to put the baby on the podcast. No.
Yeah, that's how people get arrested. So, no.
Okay, so then, well, one thing I want to, did it make you, like, nauseous to watch Jordan and Bananas be like, yeah, you're totally safe. Like, it's perfect. We're best buds.
Not, I want to say nauseous, just so, just not how I expected these two interacting ever, especially after last season.
Let's do the podcast players. I'll be Bananas and you be Jordan. Hey, am I good tonight? What would you expect to happen?
Well, what I would expect to happen going into the season, yes. I thought Jordan would be
do it in the role. Okay, good. Sorry. I'm the hands-on director.
Wait, am I Jordan or Bananas again?
Who do you want to be?
I'll be Jordan.
Okay. So I'm Bananas. Hey, good job, man. What are you thinking?
Haha, this is going to be so much fun to throw you in to watch you suffer. This is going to be great.
Okay. End scene.
End scene. This is, by the way, this is why I'm not an actor.
I thought it was great. So, yeah, it was surprising, but even not just the beginning of the season, but like, even coming back, and they had been working together through Sarah, I still didn't expect it to be this chummy, especially on Jordan's end when he was in the position of power.
Right. Yeah.
I guess Jordan, Bananas made good on his promise to throw the challenge, so maybe that was like an underlying.
Yeah, and I guess Jordan, I think Sarah was a little wise to it, but I don't think Jordan really realizes that it was more in Bananas' best interest to throw the challenge than Jordan's best interest.
Very true.
So,
Bananas has a few West-like tricks in his pocket. This is one of them.
And that was what he did with Leroy was very similar to what West did with Zach, even though the target wasn't really on Bananas at the time. I mean, it was really
that's a stretch because it was really unbelievable what West did. But it is the same kind of thing. Like, well, just get rid of my number one as long as I don't have to do it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's not as drastic because the target was clearly on Wes and he did a matrix move and dodged it, but a little similar.
But then Naya's, like, I guess the waterworks was just like the storm brewing and Naya really ramps up a deliberation.
Yeah. You could when Jordan starts talking about how like they're friends and Naya's like maniacally laughing and then starts walking over the table to get to TJ. That's like the thunder and lightning going off and everyone's putting the wood up against the windows and getting ready.
I mean, it was annoying how Jordan was saying that, though. Like, I think Jordan should have just said, like, best chance of the final, we gotta go Lyra and Naya. Like, he just should have shut up. And Jordan still does not know Wes is more.
Especially because, like, this conversation before, he was like, we're not friends. And then it's like, these are two people we consider friends. It's like, you can't say both things, Jordan.
That was just, that really annoyed me too. And Naya just goes off and everything she's saying is making sense until she gets to like, and Nami's still a whore bit.
I mean, this was an all-time tirade for like, when they show like clips of past great challenge moments, this tirade is going to be right up there. It was unbelievable.
I mean, I don't know if I agree with that. Brooke. It's no Brooke. Going off, don't you ever talk to me like ever.
I think what I love most about this one was when they started showing Nani and Naya talking in slow-mo and didn't show what they were saying with like voiceovers of people like saying what was going on. I just love those shots.
I guess, you know what? Yeah. And once Nani jumped in but until Nani jumped in, it was really just like a bitter Betty saying like, Bananas isn't your friend, like just trying to blow up everyone's game, and it was almost like sad. Like that's why it didn't have any real like power behind it.
No, this will be looked back on as the Nani versus Naya fight, not anyone else.
Although, and we'll get to and I think someone asked, but I don't know who did. I'm sorry about the to be continued, but I think the fact that Nani even steps to Naya is pretty impressive, because Naya is like a way more intimidating figure than Nani. But I just am so sick of Nani and annoyed by her that I was just like, sit down, Nani. Like, my perspective when someone is going into the dome and you're not, let them just go off and like laugh at them. Like, let them go off with such anger and just let them dish it out, and you're sitting pretty and enjoy the show and watch them squirm during the elimination. So
right. It was kind of tough to tell if Nani jumped in on it or if Naya called her out on it and that's how she jumped in. It kind of seemed like it was kind of simultaneous with Naya calling Bananas champion, and then I don't know if she said like, Nani, you think of yourself as a champion, because that's kind of was discussed, but they didn't really show that, so I have to assume that was said. So I think that's kind of how Nani got involved, and then things just went to a whole other
direction. And she started talking about who she's done what to. Like, no, Naya definitely called every single person out, but again, like, you have the power, just like, okay, thanks, like, enjoy your elimination, like, I right. But that's not Nani, and that kind of annoys me about Nani. She'll like fight she doesn't need to, and that's like irritating. I'm just kind of over Nani and kind of sick of her, but it was, I think it was unfortunately interrupted by the to be continued.
Yeah, I hate when they the breakup fights like that, because they're gonna come back and the fight will probably last like just like another minute, and they could have just shown it at the end of this episode. That's always annoying. I did enjoy the way they put up the to be continued, like it was like they were advertising a new like summer movie, like the big like to be continued coming this summer.
Yeah, I think it definitely like stops the momentum of the fights. I won't care about. I'll like forget that that's what I thought of the Adam and Brittany and Avery and Johnny challenge. Like, oh yeah, this is where we're at. Like, but I also think like it's almost like this girl fight's about to escalate. Come back next week. Like, it's almost like you're hoping it's going to get to violence just based on the to be continued. And I thought myself, wait a minute. No, I don't hope it gets to violence. Like, they're building up this catastrophic fight. And I just didn't... I think they should just go with it and not try to make it, like, the UFC event of the summer.
Yeah. No, I agree. But thinking about the deliberation, someone had a good question. I don't know. I'll find it in a second. But they basically just said, how disappointed are you that we were being deprived of a Wes versus Bananas and really also Teresa versus Nani elimination?
Brian, when you're in charge of the questions, you have to know the people. I'm just kidding. I always do that.
Well, no, as you're talking, as you're, I'm going to find the name.
I'm making fun of myself because I do that every week.
I found it. Sirha Murdy.
So, yeah, I think it was ridiculous because strategically it made so much more sense. Unless, again, the only thing is if you're more afraid of them as being power couple for next week. But I think even Bananas may have understood, because everyone wants to see. Could have just said, like, all right, enough's enough. I got to put you both in. But, yeah, I think it would have been good. Based on what the challenge is next week, that's not a spoiler, right? Because they showed the next. Yeah. It would have been really, really interesting. I think because it's, like, physical, it would have been perfect. Like, if it was one of those, like, they both do their own thing and whoever does it first, like, that would have been less exciting for them to go head to head on. Like, I think it's would have been great to see them do this challenge. I think it's going to be great to see Leroy and Naya do it against Wes and Teresa too. Yeah. I my money's on Leroy and Naya.
Oh, absolutely. So is mine. And I honestly thinking a little bit more, I think I would have been more interested to see Nani versus Teresa in this rather than Bananas versus Wes. Because I mean, I think didn't Wes do this against like Big Easy a couple seasons ago and got absolutely destroyed? So I can't imagine Bananas not being able to beat him. But I think the Nani versus Teresa.
Well, you're
battle
talking about like
great.
A 300-pound dude. Like,
I guess so.
That is such an unfair comparison. But I think I don't even remember that, but I do remember someone getting pummeled. So yeah. That's probably what.
But the Nani Teresa part would have been really fun to see with all their hatred between the two. But yeah, I think Naya and Leroy are going to win this.
I just think that Teresa is so spent that she could be against Jasmine and probably would lose. Like, I just think that she's crying. She's already defeated. She doesn't need this to know she's a winner. And
that was such a sad line. Oh my God.
I think it's actually what you thought about Wes. Like, you said in the beginning that, like, Wes wasn't as hungry and Wes doesn't have the drive to make it to the final. I think that's really been Teresa's issue.
Yeah, but I mean, not as, like, that depressing of a sentiment. Wes would have been like, screw these people, my life is great. Not, I don't need this to know I'm a winner.
I didn't even mean by that line. I just mean, like, subconsciously. Like, you can't fight as hard when you're
Wes is showing a lot this season. I thought he might have not been as into it, but yeah, I was way off on that. No, he's been really into it.
I didn't even mean to call you on being wrong. I just meant, like, I think you were right, but it was Teresa. Like, Teresa is going to – I hope I'm wrong, because – basically, by putting my money on Wes and Leroy and Naya now, I have my money on both of them.
You can't lose.
I'm hedging my bets. But I do think that Leroy and I are just way hungrier, and Teresa's done.
Yeah, she's done. I mean, a lot. Obviously, these look like a physical type of challenge, but so many of these are just pure just your mental state, and Teresa's not in a good mindset right now. I mean, maybe Naya also won't be, but I mean, it depends if she...
No, she's angry. That's perfect. That's the thing.
If she channels her anger for this moment, or if she lets it distract her. And I think she's going to be able to channel it and put it all on Teresa.
I also think, like, there's... The other argument with this is, like, whether it's better to be quick or big. And I don't think that, like, Teresa's potential quickness is going to be enough to counter Naya's size.
Yeah, because the problem with this one, as opposed to, like, the one where CJ and Zach had that epic battle, is that it seems like it's more enclosed. So, like, CJ was able to, like jump over Zach and, like, slide underneath. Like, this is more like you have to run into the person. Like, there's no other alternative. So I think Naya's in pretty good shape there.
I'm anxiously awaiting next week's.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So... Got a couple of more questions, if we can get to those. Not as good at this as you are. Edward Morris says, can Leroy, and I guess we can't talk about this, but can Leroy and I win the final if there is a swimming portion?
I don't think Leroy and I would win the final, even without a swimming portion. I just think that they're like sprinters and not long distance kind of competitors, and I think so. We'll see. I mean, I'd love to see them in the final, not more than I'd like to see Wes and Teresa versus Bananas and Ani in the final, but I think we probably there's a good chance that we could see them in the final, and we'll see. I just don't think, swimming or not, I don't think that they would be ready for it, if that makes sense.
No, I agree. Do you have any news? Because I have some news for
Well, I'll do some quick news and then some other news. I'll do some quick news that's more like me talking and then a plug. But no, I want to take a second to apologize for my absence last week, and also my sparse awareness about everything. I haven't been on Twitter or looking at anything. Thank you to Dane for filling in, and you, Brian, for covering. I would not miss this stuff. It wasn't really important, and without indulging too much and killing the mood in the style of MTV, I'm going to dedicate all of my prior, past, and future coverage on shows and podcasting, however that long that may be, to my dad, and remind everyone, like Bananas did this week in the dome on his arm, if you're feeling generous, you should donate to the worthy patients and families in need at medgift.com. Because I feel like we talked a lot about that with DM in the beginning, and here's a midway reminder to check that site out. But another note, I got some swag. There's a really cool entertainment and fitness blog happening right now called The Skinny Couch Potato, started by a talented actor and entertainment guru. I wrote that myself, Jake Perlman, who is formerly of Entertainment Weekly, so he's legit. And he's starting a blog. This is now what it says on his blog. The Skinny Couch Potato is a health and fitness guide full of tips and tricks and ideas for entertainment junkies. So it's combining pop culture and working out, so you don't just snack and get supersized.
There you go.
But he sent me a sweatband, which is funny because, like, running. But any challenge fans, I feel like it kind of melds the mediums. So if you're into fitness, you should check it out. Real news that's back to being challenge related. I wanted to talk about all the people who have announced that they're retiring.
How else have you heard? Because I've seen some people now unretire also. Well, so maybe we can cancel each other out.
Sarah announced her retirement.
Oh, I did not see that. I feel like people need to hold press conferences instead of just like saying this on Twitter.
She wrote about retiring, like, and she put it in quotes, and Laurel wrote like in quotes, and she was like, it's just weird to say I'm retiring. But she kind of, I think she said it around the same time as like the Zach Rants, and I pulled it and I forgot to say it on air. But like, who's the running list of all the people who have said they've retired?
So
Teresa?
Teresa said she retired. Now Sarah says she retired. Didn't Laurel say she retired or is like partially retired?
I probably wouldn't know.
I don't know. I know Jasmine said she retired.
Oh, you know what? It was under the... Someone tweeted, like, we need, like, a battle of the sexes, and did, like, at Sarah, at Laurel, at, like, you know, whatever.
Right.
And then Sarah was like, if I wasn't, quote-unquote, retired, like, we would slay, or something like that. And Laurel was like, quote-unquote.
Frank also said he retired. There's another one.
That's kind of, like, premature.
Who?
Frank.
Yeah, well, I think he's trying to be, like, an actual person.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
He's trying to be, like, an actual person.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
Trying to be.
I don't know. I think, and then the other news is that The Real World may or may not be canceled.
Yes,
that is, was that your news?
Partially that the did challenge.
Did I scoop you?
You kind of did. Well, I was going to say the challenge and Are You the One were both renewed,
right.
But Real World was conspicuously absent, and apparently MTV has not been offering up positive quotes about its renewal.
Well, this season was such a shit show. I'm actually like 4 or 5 episodes behind.
I wonder if. Now, all of a sudden, if The Real World is gone, then maybe Are You the One is just going to be the actual last feeder system into the challenge. Maybe this was like their test to see how it would go, and they'd be like, all right, now it's just Are You the One coming in.
Yeah, but if it's just Are You the One people, not just Are You the One, but if it's like, you know, newbies from Are You the One, and then like all of the people who are still willing to go on the challenge who aren't retired. Like, I feel like I keep hearing more and more people are retired. Like, how many more of these does Bananas really have in him?
I think he's going to do it until they stop asking him.
You, how old is he? I guess he has made this his
real career. 33, maybe?
I guess I'm just like not even until they stop asking him. Like, how many does he have left in him physically? Like, I guess you're saying like 5.
I think I saw Mark Long says he wants to come back and he's like 40.
I know, but that would be sad and disgusting.
I don't know. That's why we need a fresh meat season.
We desperately need a fresh meat season. Like, somebody wrote, like, I know that people aren't, like, hooking up and whatever as much, but I can now watch it with my mom.
That was actually, like, the first comment I had. I meant to, like, kind of start with that. Jennifer O'Hara, shout out to you.
I only had time to read a few of the questions, so I'm only pulling from the top few in my head. But look at this memory I have. No, enough about me. But it's true. Like, it is now more family-friendly, and it's more... not closer to Survivor, but it is just in the sense that it's purely strategic now. Mm-hmm. But I hope they go back to its like trashy roots just a little bit, because Susie actually wrote a really interesting article that I already tweeted out about how disgusting of an environment the challenge fosters. And it kind of made me feel bad. So it's fair, but it can't just be this, because there's not enough. Like, it would have to start introducing like 2 challenges. I know they have the elimination, but the elimination is like tribal council. The main challenge is, like, the immunity challenge. And then you need something else to fill in for where the drama and hookups are supposed to be.
Yeah. Man, I don't think this... No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't think that was their intention for the season to be more strategic. I just think just people haven't just been hooking up or doing other than now with Naya causing a lot of drama and fights. So they just had to show some other stuff. My guess is this stuff has always been going on. They just have wild costume parties and crazy hookups that they've been able to show instead of it.
Right, and I guess that's why maybe they're moving away from, like, the Real World system and doing Are You the One, because the Are You the One people are probably inherently more willing to be promiscuous. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm sad about The Real World, but I love to hate it now.
It's been enjoyable, but as long as it doesn't interrupt the challenge being continued, I won't be upset if The Real World is done.
Andy Dennard on Reality Blurred has an article if anyone wants to read more about The Real World. He's been following The Real World since day one. So, interesting perspective available to you.
One other piece of news that came across. Someone tweeted to us. I don't really remember who, but Jenny and Brian from Real World Explosion are expecting a kid.
Prego. Lego, my ego, Prego.
That's going to be, that's gonna be a hell of a family.
I have no comment on the love between two people and the children they will bring into the world.
Good for them.
Best wishes.
Good for them. Kind of wish we got to see one of them on a challenge, but I guess more important things in life somehow.
Did Brad and Tori go on the No, they stopped before they had a kid.
Yeah, I think so. I would hope so. I think that's about it, right? Got anything else?
Got nothing for you.
Hashtag Baby's First Podcast.
Honestly, we don't check to see if it's been taken. Like, Lash, whatever it was last time, Bash... was taken. It wasn't taken.
What do you mean taken? It's been used.
Other people had used it. Like eyelash companies were like, it's a lash brush. Because sometimes people use the hashtag and don't tag us. So I noticed that once. I check it, you know, once.
Yeah.
And it's funny when it's not just something. So I'm going to check Baby's First Podcast right now.
The greatest
that would
thing,
be really specific.
That would be. But it's so – whenever I tweet about something that has to do with Real World Portland and I tweet Portland in the tweet, the Twitter account Life in Portland always favorites it, and it's absolutely hysterical.
Yes, so, I've seen them.
So shout out to Life in Portland.
Yeah, Baby's First Podcast has 3 tweets, which is hilarious.
That's really funny.
There's babiesfirstpodcast.tumblr.com.
Oh, my God. There's a Tumblr?
Okay, I'm going to be in a black hole here on the internet if we don't stop. So let's just accept Baby's First Podcast. We'll jump Baby's on the bandwagon.
Yep, let's do it. That will do it for this week. You can subscribe, robiswebsite.com/challengeiTunes. You can follow me at BusDriversRoute. You can follow you.
You can follow me at Baby's First Podcast, Blur.com, or at Last Tweets.
And then we'll be back next week, episode 10. Until then, have a good one.